coming in glory. When he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cherub, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand.
What a song, amen. What don't make no sense now makes sense later, amen. God's got this thing all planned out. Everything's going to go according to His Word. He said He declared the end from the beginning. Isaiah chapter 46, saying, my counsel will stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Men, as hard as they may try, and as hard as they may fight, they're not going to undermine God. God winked at that knowledge or that foolishness there and commanded men everywhere to repent. I tell you, buddy, God's got this thing right on course. It's right on the schedule. Everything is right where it's supposed to be for the hour we're living right now. Anybody got a special song you want to sing this morning? See Linda looking there. You got one?
You want to sing, Margaret?
Get her by the hands. They come join with me. Amen. Pretty ashamed of wanting to sing to the Lord. I'm plumb ashamed. I wish I could sing, but I'm plumb ashamed of how little that we do for praise and glory to God.
Okay. This is a women's choir.
All right. Lord!
In childhood I heard of the heaven. I wondered if it could be true that there were sweet mansions eternal up there somewhere beyond the blue. I wondered if people really go there. Then one day sweet Jesus came in. Then I got a vision of heaven. My soul through all heaven I'll spin. Heaven,
the home above.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I like songs about heaven. I like like thinking about heaven. I like praise God real loud, and I'm going to heaven. Amen. Bible said, happy are you if you know these things. I'm the same as they're already. The Bible said we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm glad there's a seat up there that anyway's going to occupy one day. Right now, I'm absent, but I will be present, praise God, at the marriage supper of the Lamb when this world's in chaos. Right now, the church is holding at bay the Antichrist, the false prophet, the tribulation, all of that. But when we be taken out of the way, here it comes. Woe to the habits of the world. Right now, there's a calm, but also there's a storm brewing. And I'll tell you what this Bible will tell you. If you want to know, it'll tell you the truth. It'll tell you everything that's going to happen, how it's going to happen, pretty much when it's going to happen. Jesus said, when you see these things, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. These signs in the heavens, signs in the earth. Man, there'll be wars, rumors of wars. There'll be perplexity, men's hearts failing for fear. Man, I'm telling you, a lot of things coming. I don't know. I guess they'll probably quit texting on that day. Maybe quit Facebooking on that day. Maybe they'll start actually seeking the Lord. I don't know. I know one thing. I done found Him. Hallelujah. All right. Anybody got a word on your heart before I jump right in here? I've got a long message this morning. Ain't no way around it. Hope you brought your dinner. James.
He's our only hope and stay.
He's the blessed hope. He's the hope that maketh not ashamed. He's the hope that's an anchor, both sure and steadfast, our soul. Praise God for that hope, amen. I'm telling you, I don't know what's going to happen. Worldly speaking, I don't see how it can stand anymore. It's propped up by about like that wall Nehemiah and them was building. I mean, it's propped up with two picks and stuff like that. I don't know how it's going to be able to take what's coming much longer before it all falls. But we'll take our text this morning out of James chapter number 1. And it'll be a lengthy message. I've been on this thought all week. It's actually bigger than me. I'll do my best. I'm just a little dog in the fight. This is more a message for a big dog than me. But James, we'll just read two verses out of James chapter 1. The Bible says, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And I'm going to preach this morning on how to lose your religion. And I desire your prayers. Pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Lord, in the day and hour which we're living, Lord, I'm glad it still quickens. I'm glad it's still alive. I'm glad it's still punctual. It still gets the job done. It didn't return void. I'm glad, praise God, it's a sure stone, a tried stone. I'm glad, praise God, it's blessed of God, sent by God, and men ought to give the most earnest heed to it. I pray you bless our efforts today. Help this tongue not to stammer or stutter, but speak forth with great plainness of speech the Word of God. Lord, bless, I pray, and help, I pray, us to have ears to hear and a heart, Lord, that we might receive the truth of Thy Word. And we'll give You the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we'll ask it. Amen. How to lose your religion. And there's some people I wish they would lose their religion. But let me say this about religion. Religion says do. Salvation says done. Religion hinges on works. Salvation hinges on faith. And there is quite a bit of difference in religion and salvation, and yet they're so parallel, so similar, it's hard to tell them apart. And let me just say, I'll be reading quite a bit of Bible. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to, you can. I'm going to read a passage here out of Romans chapter number 4. And the Bible says in the first 8 verses of Romans chapter 4, What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, have found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. But what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is reward, not working of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, listen to that, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, that's talking about Jesus, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of a man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Look down to verse number 20. Again, talking about Abraham. It says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Listen to this. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed up to him for righteousness. Amen. I'm telling you, buddy, when you think about Abraham here, he was told to go, not where, just go, and he went. He was told to believe, and he believed, amen. And he was fully persuaded that God made a promise to him that it would perform that promise, amen. Verse 23 says, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. In other words, this is important to you and me, to whom it shall be imputed. For if we believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I'm telling you, buddy, God's got a good plan here. If you got the Son, you got salvation. If you got religion, I'm telling you, no hope for you. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Both say the same thing. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let me say this, religion is a lie. Salvation is the truth. I want to be clear when I say religion is a lie. Look in your Bible in Genesis chapter number 3. Look in there, you find religion really early in the Bible. In Genesis chapter number 3, you see the first lie of religion. In verse number 4, the serpent speaking to Eve, he says, you shall not surely die. Well, that's funny, God said you shall die. You see, religion tells lies. God told Adam in Genesis chapter number 2, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. I'm reading verse 16. Verse 17, God says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But religion lied, and religion told Eve, you shall not surely die. And religion will lie to you. And religion said in verse number 5, he said, you'll be asked God. Another lie, amen. And I want you to know that's the way religion is. They ate the lie of religion. And they put on religious garments, amen. And it was okay until God showed up. And they started living the lies of religion. And when God showed up, they hid themselves from the presence of God, verse number 8 says, that's the way religion is. Religion lets you live a lie. Religion lets you put on garments. And you'll appear righteous before men. You put your robe on and you got your ice cream hat and you got your staff. And you go down and everybody bows to you. Oh, you're so religiously lost. Salvation, it don't flaunt itself. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. Salvation's within a man. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Salvation doesn't put on a show. Salvation doesn't behave itself unseemly. Salvation, I'll tell you what, gives stability. But I want you to know, as Adam and Eve started living the lie of religion, they put on those garments, those fig leaves. I guess you could call them the fig leaf religion. And I'll tell you, everything was okay until God showed up. You look down at verse 8. Says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And it says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. That's what will happen if you don't have salvation. That's what will happen if you're living a religious lie. You'll hide yourself. In the book of Revelation, it says, they'll cry to the rocks until the mountains fall on us and hide us from the face of Him to come. I'll tell you, boy, religion will get you messed up. And I'll tell you what, buddy, they're afraid to meet God in religion. Look at verse number 10. Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. I'm telling you, religion will cause you to be afraid to meet God. Amen. John chapter number 3, you got a religious man here. He's talking to the door of salvation. And you know, a lot of people have got close. They're like King Agrippa that said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. They're like Pilate that said, looked in the face of Jesus and said, what is truth? I mean, there's a lot of religious people today. But in John chapter number 3, it said there was a man of the Pharisees. Now listen, when God puts a man's name in here, it's because it's got a good ending. His name is Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher. Come from God. But no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, in other words, ever truth, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want you to know this religious man, as he talked of salvation, God told him twice, you must be born again. In verse number 7, Jesus again, he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Let me tell you something, buddy, there's a difference between religion and salvation. Amen. I'll tell you what that man Nicodemus did. He received that. He did it kind of in secret because of fear of the Jews. But I'll tell you what, him and Joseph of Arimathea come up and begged the body of Jesus and took him buried it. Amen. I'll tell you right now, buddy, Jesus in Matthew chapter 23, a lot of Bible, and I know the letter killeth, the spirit gives life, but I ain't got no other way to contain this message this morning. In Matthew chapter number 23, Jesus again talking about religion. Let me tell you why this is so bad. Man, there's a difference between religion and salvation. That man come to me this week. I have to admit, I didn't see this coming. I didn't change my opinion. As a matter of fact, I was more adamant than I was before. When he asked me if I knew, and I know he'll probably hear this message. As a matter of fact, I'll probably make a copy of it and give it to him. Because I'll tell you right now, God's not no respecter of persons. God help the man that is. God told Jeremiah not to fear them. And he said they won't hear, but tell them anyway. And I know we're living that kind of day today. People won't hear, but you got to tell them anyway. That man, he asked me if I knew a certain man, Dalton Stephen. I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, you remember him? I said, yeah, I remember going to the hospital and begging him to denounce Mormonism, that damnable heresy, so he wouldn't end up in hell. That man told me, Brother Melvin, he said, I'm a Mormon. I said, buddy, I tell you the same thing. He left, but he came back. He said, so you're telling me I'm going to hell? I said, yeah, and you're taking your family there too. I didn't back down a bit. The Bible said the righteous are bold as a lion. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, my son said, sure took it easy on him. There wasn't no way. He wouldn't allow it. He come to me and said, you're telling me I'm going to hell? I said, that's right, buddy, you're going to hell. And you're taking your family with you. Think about it. I said, they're following you to that place of the damned, the doomed, down there where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. I said, you ought to think about that. I saw him shook up a little bit. It ought to shake you a little bit, think about hell. Man, I don't know what day we've come down to, but hell ain't frozen over. It's still aflame like it ever was. I'll tell you right now, it's ready to receive those coming to it. It'll rise up and grab you like a shark and swallow you up. Amen. Down there in hell, buddy, you'll remember the preaching. Amen. God sent men of God to preach to you and warn you about this place called hell. Amen. You would none of God's counsel. You said it not. You would not let Him be Lord. And you reap what you sowed. I don't know why we got so complacent, but I'll tell you one thing. Hell ain't changed a bit. God ain't changed a bit. The door of heaven's still there. Right now, the age of grace that we're living in, the welcome mat still on the threshold of the door of heaven, and the nail-scarred hands of Jesus still reaching out saying, come to me! I'll help you! I'll save you! From the damnation of hell. Well, I'm telling you what, buddy. We're down to that day. People are going to hell more so than ever. And Jesus told us much in Matthew chapter 23. He's talking about religion, so listen to me and kind of sort this out a little bit. He says in verse number 3 through verse number 9, He says, they say and do not, verse 3. He says, they bind heavy burdens, verse 4. He says, they themselves will not even move one of their fingers, verse 4. He says, all that they do to be seen of men, verse 5. They want that look, you know. And let me say about that look, a lot of them do look like they're going to heaven, but that don't mean they're going, amen. And you know, verse 6 and 7 says they want the praise of men. Verse 9, I can't believe God put this in the Bible. But He said, call no man your father upon the earth. I don't know, I'll never call nobody father so-and-so. I'll call my father, father, and that's all. I call my heavenly father, father, but I won't call nobody father so-and-so. When they say, well, that's father so-and-so, that's when I turn the radio off and the TV off. That's when I leave. I exit. Call no man your father upon the earth. Verse 13 through 15 says they're not going to heaven. God just told you plainly. He said, not only are they not going to heaven, He said they're making twofold more trials of hell than themselves. They not only not going to heaven, they're keeping others from going to heaven. Ain't that something? That's the way religion does. Then verse number 24 through 28 says they appear righteous outwardly, but inwardly they're full of dead men's bones. Verse 33 says, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? They won't escape. Not only will they not escape, but neither will you. The Bible says you won't escape hell if you neglect so great salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3. Now, Jesus, again, talking about religion. And I'm trying to use great plainness of speech this morning. He talks about religion in Matthew chapter number 7. He mentions two ways. In verse number 13, He mentions about a broad way. And He attaches this word to it, many. He mentions about a narrow way. And He attaches this word to it, few. Many shall be that go in there at that broad way. Few there be that find that narrow way that leads to life. I'm telling you, buddy, He said in verse number 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. I'm telling you, buddy, He attached that word few to verse number 21. However, verses 22 and 23, He attaches that word many. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He attached many to that bunch that never knew Him, and He attached few to those ones that He said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, just a few. I'm glad, praise God. And not only do I know in whom I have believed, I praise God that He knows me as one of His. Amen. He said He's a good shepherd, knows His sheep. Listen, Thomas said to Jesus, how can we know the way? Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way. John chapter 14, verse 5 and 6. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Those Muslims are murdering Christians, and it's coming here. You're talking about the hour we're living in, boy. Brother Vernon mentioned about perilous times. Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter days, perilous times will come. They're coming. I heard something on the radio this morning. Even hearing it, it shook me. That there's a clause in our Constitution. I wasn't aware of this, but it's a Christian lawyer Very learned man. Matter of fact, he's a lawyer pertaining to our government, tries to keep them in line. He said there is a clause in our Constitution that will allow a president a third term, 4 more years. And he said, right now, as I'm speaking to you, Barack Obama is looking in to accommodating that third term. I didn't know that was even possible. Right now, Muslims have free access to your White House. They go in there and pray Muslim prayers in your White House. You better not pray in there. Man, that place has done already become the place of the damned. Right now, all your money's been sent in dump truck loads over to them Muslim countries. They're letting Muslims go for one deserter. It's amazing. We could go kill Osama bin Laden, but we couldn't come get one deserter out. Got to trade 5 what I'd call major terrorist generals for one deserter. Oh, it's amazing that all of these emails for 2 years just vanished. Man, we got to be gullible. I'll tell you what, buddy, we might have our head in the sand. We might, I guess other nations are laughing at our nation because we're being dismantled as I'm speaking this morning. Man, we need to wake up. We need to redeem the time. We need to see the days are evil. We need to seek like Lot did our family and say, get up out of here. God's going to destroy this place. God said about one bunch that this dumb dog wouldn't bark. We need to get our bark back. We need to get back. But I mean preaching precept upon precept, line upon line, what thus saith the Word of God. Quit sugarcoating and start straightening out some messes. Amen. Bless his heart, Brother Henry Resterfield. Graduated this life this week. Tremendous man of God in the process of building a great church, doing a great work. Supplied all kind of missionaries with funds to go out and evangelize the world. God called him home. I called my pastor and told him, I said, Brother Rick, I just heard on the radio they're requesting prayer for Brother Henry Westerfield. He said, I wasn't even aware of it. But the next thing I heard about Brother Henry Westerfield, God called him home. I'll tell you what, buddy, going home, that's what I want to do. I want to go home. I wish God would just say, hey, Eddie, you've suffered enough. Come on home. But I'll tell you right now, I don't know how far we're going, but I'm going all the way. I'll tell you right now, if indeed be, I'll go into tribulation, lay this head upon the guillotine. I say, there it is. Yeah. It belongs to Him. I'll gladly give it for Him. I'll tell you, buddy, these are days you better know what you believe.
Amen.
You better know who you believe. You better make sure. The Bible said, examine yourself, prove yourself, know yourself. Would it be in Christ except to be reprobate? I just got 3 points this message. All this just been foundation. I'll tell you right now, buddy. I'll tell you how to lose your salvation. Get saved. You can lose your salvation, just get saved. You get saved, you get your eyes open. I told a guy at work this week, this joke, it's kind of true, but it's a joke. Just remember this. This little boy had a litter of kittens there, and this certain preacher come by and said, young man, what kind of kittens are them? And he said, them such and such kittens. And he went and got his preaching buddy. He said, come here, I got a little boy I want you to meet. He brought him over to that little boy. He said, young man, tell him what kind of kittens them are. He said, them's Baptist kittens. He said, I thought you said that they're such and such. He said, yeah, that's before they got their eyes opened. You get saved, it'll open your eyes. You'll know what it means to be saved.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, but it ain't in you to direct your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's why God has to help a man. That's why God has to convict a man. And God has to convince a man that he needs to be saved. Only God can do it. I'll tell you right now, I saw God get a hold of some men. I saw the biggest and baddest you ever seen in your life. I saw them bent. I saw them broke. I saw them pulled back together. And boy, when God got done with them, what a work He done. Amen.
Oh, amen.
Amen. Get saved. You can lose your religion. Read your Bible, brother. I'll tell you, Keith back there reading his Bible. I can't think of nothing better. I can't think of anything better than holding the Word of life before your eyes. God said, let it not depart from thine eyes, keep it in the midst of thy heart, for it's health to all those that find it, life to their flesh. I'll tell you what, I can't think of a better diet than the Word of God. You read your Bible through, you'll be found out like I did. You'll find out you're not altogether right. And you'll find out God is altogether right. I spent more time on my knees first time I read my Bible through. I didn't realize how wicked and wretched I was. But I saw myself in God's mirror, Brother Howard, and I saw how short I had came from the glory of God. I don't know how well God put up with me, but as I read that Bible, but I want you to know, it ain't dull, it's sharp. It kept coming and going. I got down, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God, thank you for having mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. I'll tell you, boy, I saw it different anyway than what I was used to. I might have been 34 years old, but I'll tell you right now, I wasn't ready for what I was seeing. I looked in that Bible right there and I found out, but God had great mercy on me. You listen, you get saved, you lose your religion. You read your Bible, you lose your religion. You get in a good fundamental Bible preaching church, and you'll lose your religion. I'll tell you what, God chose the foolish of preaching to save them that believe. I still remember that day. I might have been reluctant, but I still remember that day. I started telling this man at work about my testimony. I couldn't believe I was getting an opportunity telling my testimony. And I got interrupted right at one place. So since I'm going to give him a copy of this, I'm going to go ahead and tell it again. Man, oh man. Everybody ought to have a testimony. Everywhere Paul went, he gave his testimony. The Bible said about any kid, a testimony that he pleased God. If you ain't got a testimony, you'll think about that a minute. The reason you ain't got a testimony, maybe you ain't got a place where you knelt down and called upon Him. It's rich mercy all to call upon Him. Maybe you're one of them just kind of growed up in church and never really got good and saved. But I'll tell you what, buddy. I still remember my wife, my godly wife, been married 13 years to the devil himself, telling me about my cousin's wife, Sandra Ford. She said, Eddie, Sandy got saved. I just thought you might want to know. But I'll tell you what, Brother Howard, I did want to know, but for all the wrong reasons. That's my drinking partner's, Opie. What was I going to do? My drinking partner ended up in church on Sunday. Man, I loaded down that truck with liquor and beer and headed over there. And I went in his house and said, come out, I need to talk to you. And his wife, man, she just got saved. But I still remember the look. She looked at her husband as he went out there, and we sat out there in his driveway on 126 Harwood Street. And I said, I heard about your wife getting saved, and I saw him kind of shrink up a little bit. And I said, won't be long, we'll have you in church. You don't get to go and drink with me no more. And I'm cursing. I'm taking God's name in vain. Man, I'm making fun of the church and preachers and preaching and everything else. I'm shaking my fist in God's name. I'm blaspheming. I guess I committed every sin that could be committed. If there was an unpardonable sin, I'm committing them. I mean, I'm just daring God to mess with me. I'm man's man. Man, I really thought I was something, Brother Melvin. And I'm laying on pretty rough. I mean, here my drinking buddy, I got Sir F. He said, Eddie, Sandy's going to get baptized 2 weeks from now. That ain't like Sandy is. I said, there you go. They'll have you down there baptizing you. Better get you another one of them tall boy past blue ribbons. And I'm throwing the cans in the back. And how much did you lay on, Brother Eddie? Well, I had to put one hand over one eye to drive home because I sinned double. Now, I got on the Glasgow Edmonton Road, and I ain't saying this bragging. I'm just saying I'm glad God was merciful to me. I've done what I've done ignorantly, like Paul said. He said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. That's what I did. I've done it ignorantly. But I cleaned this ditch out a while, and I cleaned that ditch out a while. And how in the world I made it home on that curvy road, I guess because those ditches were like a slot car, keeping the tar directed towards home. I don't know, but I made it home. I went in the house barking like a dog drunk. I done told him, Brother Howard. I said, tomorrow's Sunday, I'm going fishing. If you want to go, let me know. If not, I'm going by myself. He said, that's where a fool rants. I didn't know no better. I got up the next morning, getting dressed to go fishing. My bedroom door opened up, and a little 8-year-old boy, never been a bigger man than he was that day, walked up to his drunk daddy with tears flying everywhere, a little old lip a quivering, walked up to me and said, Daddy, will you please go to church with me today? I still remember that moment. I remember for the first time in my life, I saw the real Eddie Wade. I had never seen it before. I saw the real me in that moment. I remember, boy, it was pretty rough. I mean, I'd never been hit that hard in my life. I fell down to my knees, choked on the words. I told that little boy, and I was very reluctant, but I did it anyway. I said, of course, Daddy, go to church you today. Man, he ran out of that door. Mama, Mama, Daddy's going to church with me today. Man, the devil's back there, buddy. going round and round. I still remember the devil on my back saying, "You've done it now. You've done it now. You've done messed it all up now. Now what are you going to do?" I'm trying to figure out how to get out of it, Keith. There ain't no way to get out of it. He's up there in the kitchen. "Mama! Daddy's going to church with me today." Would to God we had some more of that, Sophie. I wish there was some little boys and little girls running to their mama. "Mama! Daddy's going to church with me today." Or, "Daddy, Mama's going to church with me today." We say we ain't afraid. Well, prove it. Go to church with your children. I got dressed. Had my fishing clothes and a nice pair of jeans. That's about all I had. Decent shirt. Got in the car. Went to church with my family. My family, soon we pulled in the church parking lot. They went running in. And I'm out there in that car. Boy, and I mean, there's a yellow streak up my back. About 2 foot wide. And the devil's wearing me out, boy. I'm having a hard time getting out of that car. It ain't like I just run in. I fought a battle up there, buddy. I mean a battle up there. I got out of that car and walked up there at that doorknob. And that devil said, "If you open up that door, it's going to be too late. You'll turn, go back home." And I almost did. I'll tell you, buddy, it was pretty iffy right there. I mean, I thought, man, if I open that door, that devil said, "If you open that door, they're going to look down their nose at you and say, 'Who brought him in here?' I had as much right to go in there as anybody did. God said He built the church on that rock. A church will stand. He built the church so sinners could get saved and hear the gospel. Amen." How dare we look down our nose at anybody wanting to come in and hear the good news of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ Jesus. I opened up that door. To my surprise, nobody looked down their nose at me. The pastor come running. "Come on in here. We're glad to have you." I bound to meet him drunk, just smelling my breath. I sat back on the back row, buddy. He got up there and he didn't hold no punches back. He called it just like it was sin. He talked about where sin sent a man to hell and how God's grace could get a man to heaven. I mean, buddy, he had me in the flames of hell. I still remember in deep contrition. From the preaching of the Word of God, my heart got pricked. I was convinced, buddy, I was not going to heaven. I was convinced I was as good as in hell. And they gave that invitation. I still remember singing the song, "Just As I Am." And I remember thinking, just would God forgive someone like me of all I've done? "Just as I am," they kept singing. And man, the devil seemed like he nailed my feet to the floor and I couldn't move. Maybe I would have been in concrete. They sung the last stanza of that song, "Just as I am." But God didn't let up. I might have left that service lost, but I didn't stay lost. Because of the preaching of the Word of God, I started seeking refuge for my soul. So that I'd work with a godly man. He wasn't ashamed of Jesus. Every time we got in there to work together, he told me about Jesus, how much he loved him. He told me that Jesus would save me. He told me that Jesus loved me. I tell you what, buddy, I got to thinking about that man. I thought if I can just get the window shower, he can tell me how to be saved. I didn't know how to be saved. I didn't know that simple verse, that Sunday school lesson, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved." I didn't know that. I knew I was lost, but I didn't know how to be saved. But I went out there to R.R. Donnelly's, as big as that place was. I went out there looking for Wendell Shaw. I was looking frantically. I went to everybody. I said, "Look, where's Wendell? I got to find him." Guys kept saying, "I don't know. And don't ask me. I'm busy." I couldn't be denied. I kept going. Finally, somebody said, "I think I seen him in the foreman's office." And I went and jerked that door open at the foreman's office, and there sit this foreman, Jimmy Hurston, and this man I'm seeking, Wendell Shaw, and they're talking about printing. And I opened up that door, and I said, "Man, I don't care what you're talking about. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I need somebody to tell me how to be saved." If you could have got a picture look at them men's faces, that would have made some photo. But that foreman, he quoted about 5 verses from the Bible to me. You think that would have done it, don't you? Well, all it did was plant the precious seed. And Wendell Shaw, when those 5 verses were quoted, might have been 6, he said, "I want to leave right now, Eddie." We walked out there in the hall, out there in front of that foreman's office. Between the foreman's office and the bathroom, people brushing my shoulder and his shoulder on each side. He said, "Eddie, Jesus loves you, Eddie." He said, "Eddie, Jesus wants to save you." He said, "Let me give you this illustration." He couldn't have used a better one for me, Linda. He said, if your little boy had done something wrong and he come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? I said, well, I'd forgive him, Wendell. He said, it's the same way with God. It might have been a mustard seed, but I want you to know there was faith sprung up in my heart. And I believed right then that God would forgive me and God would save me. And I couldn't wait to get home. Man, I drove home, Brother Melvin, this time not being drunk. I drove home this time in a hurry to get me a place to kneel down and call upon Him that's rich in mercy. All to call upon Him. And I still remember the prayer I prayed. I kneeled down there on my bedside. And I said, Dear Lord, somebody told me You loved me. Somebody told me if I'd ask You to forgive me my sins and save my soul. And I said, the best way I know how. Right here, right now, I'm asking You to save me. And He saved anyway, April 27th, 1988. I went over at that church, Bethel Baptist Church, over on 104 Kentucky Street. I wasn't afraid to open up that door this time. I opened up that door, going to run to that preacher, tell him I got saved, open up that door, and he said, You got saved, didn't He? Must have been a 100-watt light bulb, I don't know. I couldn't get a word out before he did. Open up that door. I'm going to run and say, Brother Ricky, I got saved. And soon open up that door, he said, You got saved, didn't you? Don't tell me salvation don't make a difference. Well, let me tell you something. That day I got saved, man, I had a bunch of things I had to go make right. I went all over Glasgow. I went to a woman, Lessonberry Bill's Supply, and apologized to her for giving her a cussing. I went over to Park Avenue Furniture and apologized to a preacher over for bragging about how drunk I was going to get when I got home. Because I was so mean. I just wanted to see him tear up. Because he cared for me. I just wanted to be mean. That's the way sinners are. But it's different now. It's different now, thanks to Jesus. I'm telling you, buddy, that devil, he ain't got no place in me no more. He'd like to get in. But I ain't going to give him no place no more. I gave Jesus the whole place. Now, there's a girl at work. The last day I worked, Friday night, she showed up that morning. Well, it's Thursday night, but it ends up being Friday morning. She shows up. She wasn't feeling good. She went to the doctor. And I love this girl. Her name's Dawn. I'll tell you her first name. Her leg was hurting. She went to the doctor and they found a huge tumor in her leg. And it's the worst cancer. It's the fastest spreading cancer. And they said, you got about a week or so to live. We knew something was wrong because she kept getting pale and she kept feeling bad. But she come out there to work Friday. And I run her down. I wanted to ask her one question. I said, Dawn, and I do love her and I do care about her. I said, Dawn, I want to know one thing. I want you to answer it. Are you saved? And she said, as a little girl, I got saved. I said, are you sure? I said, Dawn, I want to see you in heaven. I want to see it in your eyes. I want to know, are you saved? You see, you need to know you're saved.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't leave it to chance. Don't say, well, you know, I hope I am, or I'll find out in the end. You'll find out too late if you do. But Dawn, I'd already heard she was a little bit confused about salvation, so I'd already had a bunch of verses wrote down for her. I said, Dawn, you're telling me you're saved, that I'll see in heaven. And she looked at me in the eye and she said, yeah. I said, I still want to give you these verses because I want you to line up with the Bible. I want you to read these verses. Promise me you will. Promise me I'll see in heaven. You see, religion will only give you disappointment. Religion will cause you to hide yourself from God. Only salvation will give you the liberty of being saved, that you won't have to hide when He shows up, that you'll be ready to go out and meet Him at His coming, and you won't be ashamed to meet Him at His coming, because I'll tell you what, salvation makes a difference. A lot of people, boy, they're content to just sit in religion. They're content to live in religion. Then they don't care to send it on. One day all that's going to change. He's coming. The Bible said, "Aye, we think not. He's coming." And when He comes, buddy, you better be in salvation. If you're in religion, buddy, I'll tell you what, you've wasted your life. You're going to where the fire is never quenched, where the worm dieth not. You're going to that place, buddy, of the damned, the doomed, that place of eternal death. You ought to think about what I'm saying here this morning. Are you truly saved? Does he know you as one of his? Do you know him as yours? There is a difference between religion and salvation. If you're religious, be lost. Why don't you lose your religion today? Why don't you get something real? Why don't you get saved today? I'll tell you right now, God saves such. He said, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise turn away. He said, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. I'll tell you, the only person knows for sure is you and the Lord. Y'all look good to me. Man, if it's up to me, all of you's going. But it ain't up to me. It's up to him. The Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone name the name of Christ apart from iniquity. You better be ready. Time's running out. Kind of like that hourglass that witch on the Wizard of Oz set before Dorothy. She said, this is how much time you got. And you can see that sand going out of that hourglass. I don't know how much sand's in your glass. Henry Westerfield was ready. Dawn, she says she's ready. I hope she is. I love her. I can tell Death already had his hand on her. I can tell when I seen her. That's probably the last time I'll ever see her, Sophie. I've seen that look. That pale look. Those eyes that are weak. Tired. I've seen it before. I knew she didn't have long. I knew I only had one chance, Brother Melvin. I didn't waste no time talking to her. I said, I want to know you're saved. I want to hear it from you. I want to know. She done said she's going to give her hair the locks of love. She done made her set a house in order. She said she wanted to be cremated. She didn't want nobody to mourn over. I'm going to mourn over. I worked with her, Toby. I cared about her. I can see her face right now. I want to know if she's going to heaven. There's a lot of people I want to know if they're going to heaven. Jesus is the only one that can give them that privilege. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. I told her, Dawn, let me know. I'll see you in heaven. That other man, I ain't letting up on him one iota. Anytime he wants to come talk, we'll stand. I'll tell you what, buddy. God help us not to compromise when it comes to talking to someone about eternity. Father, thank you for the privilege. Take your word, Lord, and give some clarity to confusion. Lord, to point out, Lord, some errors that people are making today. Father, I pray you'll guide this message to where it's needed the most. Maybe even here this morning. Maybe someone this morning, Lord, heard with clarity some error in their own life. Lord, if they're not ready to meet you at your coming. And Lord, if that be true, would you convince them of it? Would you convict them of the fact they need to get saved for it's everlasting too late? We know not who it will be, but someone will be called out to face eternity. Maybe it's you. Or maybe it's me, the old song says. Father, I pray you'll help us in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. 200. Think about this morning. Have you got religion? Or have you got salvation? Are you going to heaven? Or are you going to be disappointed when you stand before God? And He says, I never knew you. You better think about it this morning. God's given you an opportunity to make sure. Go ahead, Brother Melvin. If there's any doubt, won't you come this morning? Brother Eddie, I want to be sure. I don't want to leave it to chance. By sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. He'll do it. By trusting in His word. Thank you for Brother William. Lord, I thank you, Father, for his obedience, Lord. Lord, just to simply step out and come up here. Father, for whatever reason, I pray you'll bless this brother. I pray, Father God, Lord, you would meet with him like I am right now. On this altar, Lord, whoever he's concerned about, whatever his petition, whatever his need, I pray you'll grant him your riches and glory. I pray you help him. Lord, you're so gracious to us, Lord. You're not willing that any perish at all. Bless you. You all right, William? Oh, we trust him.
We trust him now.
Are you trusting? He'll save you if you'll let him. Don't resist him receiving. There ever was a direction to run in, run to Jesus. Somebody help me pray with this faith. God bless you, King. Lord, I thank you, see King, step out. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, through lips of clay. I know, Lord, you've been speaking to his heart for quite some time. I pray even right now you'd open wide the doors of salvation, Lord. I pray even right now, Lord, you would agree. Lord, here this morning. Lord, he's been seeking you in your word. Lord, he's been coming and seeking you, Lord, in the house of God. I pray, Lord, you meet with him here this morning. I pray you make it real to him, Lord. I pray, Lord, you give him a double portion. I pray you fill him to the brim. Lord, I pray, dear Father, Lord, that he's there this morning, Lord. Lord, you're the only one that can save you, but Lord, you're the one that will save you. All that come to you, all that call upon you. I pray, Lord, this morning, you're safe this morning, Lord.
Lord,
praise and praise
say,
glory, Lord,
that
we
come
have
to them
morning.
That would humbly seek thee and seek thy will, Lord, that you
yes,
made
Lord.
A promise in your word that
yes,
you would
Lord,
not deny you. Them. You would not turn them away, Lord, that you'll be there to reach out that they
Believe
might be
me.
Able to take hold of you and find you. Have your way right now, Lord, we pray. Give him, Lord. Touch him right now, Lord. Just
say, Lord Jesus,
help him, Father,
I need
to
Lord,
see
you to be saved today.
God, that he
I
might be able to
saved.
Take hold of him.
Witness
to
the Spirit of God to know that I'm saved. To know
Lord,
that he's
you're there.
There's no danger.
Right
I know
Lord,
that I'm
pray.
Saved.
Yeah.
Ask him, King. Say, Lord, I want that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Ask him in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I pray right now you forgive me my sin. I pray right now you'll come into my heart with salvation.
Lord,
dear
power of God, I'd be able to come upon him right now, Lord, that he can know beyond a shadow.
Yes. Lord, I pray your honor, Lord, the word that just been spoken. Lord, I pray your honor from the courts of heaven. Lord, from the seat of judgment, Lord, I pray your honor the word that this man just spoke. And I pray even right now, Lord, his name be wrote in the book of life. I pray even right now there be rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Lord, we thank you for Keith. We thank you, Lord, to see him step out, Lord, and come in faith, Lord, to the altar and call upon you. We thank you for that. I pray even right now, Lord, he'd know. Lord, beyond any doubt, know, Lord, that he's saved. Help him, Lord, I pray.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, Keith, I ain't going to tell you you're saved. You'll have to answer that yourself, but if you're not, stay here and pray.
Keep praying yourself.
Yeah, get it settled. Because I'll tell you what, buddy, eternity's too long to spend in the wrong place.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, what we've seen. We want to see a finish, Lord. We want to see, Lord, closure. We want to see, Lord, dear Father, the assurance, Lord, of salvation. We pray for Keith this morning, Lord. Lord, we rejoice, Lord, in seeing him here this morning. We rejoice, Lord, dear Father, for the Holy Spirit's visitation, Lord. And Lord, you come in our midst and done the mighty works of God. We thank you for that. I pray, dear Father, this morning, Lord, for your praise and glory, Lord. You put your signature, Lord, upon this man's salvation. Let him know, I pray, Lord, down in his heart and in his soul, Lord, it's well. Help him, Lord. Amen. Keith, did you ask the Lord to save you?
Yes, I did.
Do you believe you are saved?
You
got to
have faith, trust him. You have to have faith, trust him, you know.
Yes, I trust him.
Trust him with all your heart.
If he died today, would you go to heaven or hell?
I really don't know.
Well, Let's praise the Lord.
Praise you know.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the seriousness of this man.
Help him right now,
Lord, we see one today, Father, seeking.
Lord,
seeking not only to be saved, but also seeking the knowledge. He wants to know he's saved. Lord, he said he didn't truly know. I pray, dear Father God, you give him, Lord, that conviction. Lord, give him, Lord, I pray, Lord, that victory. Give him, Lord, I pray, Lord, that blessing that Lord to know. Lord, that you're here as a teacher. Help, I pray, Lord, keep this morning, Lord. Help him, Lord, I pray, to find, Lord, that salvation, Lord, that you gave, that you died. Lord, that men can be saved, but Lord, you gave your life a ransom for all. Help keep, Lord, I pray, to break through the barriers of doubt. And Lord, to find, Lord, I pray, the faith to believe God, to be fully persuaded. Lord, to know in his heart without any doubt that, Lord, he's yours and you're his. Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord.
Help him right now, Lord.
God bless you, King. God bless you, buddy.
Praise yourself, buddy. We know her. Take so little, it'll be fine. All night, baby. Just tell you know what
you want to die today. If you want to die today, Keith, we could go to heaven or hell.
I'd hope to go to heaven.
You need to make it sure. The Bible says make it sure.
Peace, come, let it sure.
Yeah.
We got a traitor says to him, dedicated life with intention to ever serve him unless you're at life.
It's kind of like you can just go this far, and the only way to get that far is with the bridge that Jesus gave. Yes. So you got to cross that bridge, Brother Melvin talking about faith. You got to cross that bridge of faith to get on that saving ground for the Lord save us such.
I've always believed in him. I just, I don't know. I never got far enough to.
Just have to plunge in his arms and say, Lord, I trust you.
Yeah, that's one thing the Lord asks you to do. Trust him. We sung that song, trust and obey.
There's no other way.
You're doing everything right.
Yeah.
You just asked the Lord to save you. And I tell you what, I surely wouldn't want to meddle here, but you know, that's all the Lord asked us to do was ask him to save us. And then he asked us to believe him to save us.
Yeah.
If you knew right now,
and I will ask him again.
If you knew right now that the Lord would call you in the next 30 minutes, would you want to face him just like you are right now? Are you ready for that?
I wouldn't hide from him.
You wouldn't hide from him?
No, I mean, I wouldn't. I'm confused. I'm sorry.
You'd be ready to meet him, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but you said you wouldn't hide from him. That told me you might be ready to meet him.
Yes.
He's definitely coming.
That's right.
And I mean, buddy, we don't know the hour, but there will be an hour. He's coming, and he's coming for his.
Yes.
He's going to take us where he is. That's a promise we have from him, that he'll come and get us and take us to where he is. He said that in John 14, and that he went away to prepare a place for us, that where he is, that we may be also.
Right.
And he said he'd come and get us and take us to that place. Here he come. You ready to go?
If we was an airplane and had a parachute on, and we're going to have to jump out like these here.
I wouldn't be afraid.
Wouldn't be afraid?
No.
Bless you, kid. I don't
trust. Trust him in all your heart. Never lose your faith in him. I always keep faith in Jesus. You're a Christian.
Appreciate seeing Keith step out and come up here and do what a lot of men fail to do. He come up here and ask the Lord to forgive him, ask the Lord to save him. With me, it was like dynamite. It may not be like that with everybody, but I'll tell you what, I saw something today. I've been looking forward to seeing him for a long time, and I praise God. See a man step out in the back row and come up here that's been having a Bible before his eyes, been coming to Sunday school, been coming to preaching, been seeking refuge for his soul. I appreciate Keith. I know this is, you know, I like to see people stand up and say, I thank the Lord for saving me. And I like it on that fashion. I like to hear people can't get a testimony out for weeping and rejoicing. But I also like to see what I saw this morning. We could see him draw nigh to God, him draw nigh to them. You come back tonight, Keith, and I'll tell you what, God will meet you on any terms. Amen. Yeah, we're going to have service tonight, 5 o'clock. And I have to admit, I'm kind of in the straight tonight. got two thoughts on my heart. Pray for me that God will direct me which one to go with. But pray you come back tonight. Bring somebody with you. Good to have this many here. Has anybody got a word on your heart before we dismiss?
It's certainly good to see me. Seeking the Lord for His Savior. Known Him a long time. We were in school the first few years there, I guess, you know, grade school. And hadn't seen him for years till he started coming to church here, you know, didn't know where he lived or anything. So he's close to him, you know, a friend, you know. So sure proud to see him seeking the Lord.
Yeah.
And hopefully they will keep his trust in him serving. Good to see him coming to church.
I still remember the many trips me and Nevin went down there, and I remember Keith saying, I will come. And one day he made that a reality. He showed up. I remember him saying, I will come. And we kept thinking, man.
It took a while, but he's here.
Yeah, we were kind of in a hurry, I guess. But he did show up, and he has been coming. Praise God.
Still coming.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something, Ed Bobby. Experienced Sunday night when we went home from church, and this is just like a mother to pray for her children. This old mama turkey has six little turkeys listening. Little birds look like, and she had six, and the car, nobody was behind us, but this car coming up front, and we was looking up, them little turkeys flew up in a tree that over was real there, couldn't pass them, and Bobby said, well, I'm going to get home, take care of my animals before dark, and we was hurrying, so that one, though, she kept licking back. It went in the weeds or something. And it was the one down the road. She finally got hit out of the road. And then we went on, and I said, I've never seen nothing like that before. But that's even little animals take care of the children.
There's one more, huh?
And about, I don't know if this first time Molly came to her house. We were sitting on the porch just talking, and she said, I told the Bible, if we ever have his children, I'm going to raise them like you prayed.
Bless her heart. That's good, Sophie. Amen.
I hope that I could be a, like bless your anybody I see like that.
Amen. Amen, Sophie. Who else got a willing heart this morning? Be a good place to be. I don't know if you know. If you know anything at all, it's been a good place to be this morning. I'll tell you right now, I believe we've had a heavenly visitation this morning. If there be no testimony, well, we'll be dismissed. Don't forget to come back tonight. Bring somebody with you. I'll get Brother Howard to dismiss us for a prayer, if you would, please.
Lord, we thank you again for this wonderful opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for the meeting place. Thank you for what we've seen here today.
Bless you.
What we've prayed.
Yes.
Thank you for your good fruit spirit.
Amen.